Well, welcome to our study on this day of September 9th, 2023, 1730 hours. That's 1730 hours, Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green is with you, and to begin this study, Little Children, we were beginning the article, The Ark of Urartu, which I did not mention in the video title for yesterday, so I may have to update that, but today we've got, I'll try to mention it, and it's chapter 1, paragraph 2. Now this information is not simple as it appears to be, but it's very complex. So let's, even though it's written in a very simple fashion, let's pay attention and see if we can learn something, but be aware that there's more to learn. From the genealogy is the deluge dated 3282 BCE, which we really normally call BCE 3282. And the existence of the ark structure as petrified wood in Turkey in the mountains of Ararat confirms both the Bible account of the location as well as of the antiquity of the deluge. What does the Bible say about the antiquity? Well, we get that from the Bible's genealogy, and we get the mountains of Ararat from the Bible. The fact that it's petrified wood means it's very old. The proliferation of fossils in a widely distributed area can only encourage all believers that all of these animals died suddenly in the deluge. And so the fossils were formed rapidly. Now this is the part that's a little more difficult to understand. As dead animals do not sink to the bottom, nor are fossils formed by gradual soil deposits caused by erosion. So dead animals don't always sink to the very bottom of the last layer that sits on the rock below. That's not what happens. Dead animals rest on the top level or layer of soil, which is already there and which has dead animals in it. The new animals that die later do not sink down to the same level as the animals in the bottom layer. That's the idea there. That's not believed to happen at all. So therefore, if there's one layer that has a lot of animals all over the world which have been fossilized in that same layer, then they all died at the same time. And the second point is fossils are not formed by gradual soil deposits caused by erosion. So we don't have a bunch of animals dying over a long period of time and being eventually covered by the soil that is eroded from land. I mean, that just is not the case. But also, there's nothing saying that these fossils are formed on land necessarily. If they're creatures that were inhabiting the sea, either. So, but as far as we know, this is not the way that fossils are formed by gradual soil deposits. That's not the way it happens. In the reality of the way that it happened at the time that this layer was formed, it's a very unusual layer where all these animals were frozen in water, or some of them were frozen in water if they were in water at the time. They were frozen, and their gut contents were preserved. Some of these woolly mammoths were found frozen in the north of Europe, for example. There are actually flood accounts in different cultures. That's important too. And from places located as far apart as America and China, which are virtually on the opposite sides of the earth. All of these facts testify that a global deluge came through. The Bronze Age is dated after the deluge, near 3300 BCE, and was not the first time that man employed metalworking, speaking of the Bronze Age. From the genealogy as presented in earlier articles, the Bronze Age, as after the deluge of 3282 BCE, had to be after, because the Bronze Age was the rebirth of the forging of metal, you know, which only occurred after all of the earth and its population was wiped out. So it's the Bronze Age, which must have been after the deluge of 3282 BCE, and thus it is aligned with the earliest Bronze Age dating, because it's only 18 years later than the approximate date for the Bronze Age of 3300. So this is the Bronze Age. We're right in the Bronze Age when the deluge the Bronze Age hasn't begun yet until the deluge arrives, but it's so close in date that the 18 years difference makes us very certain that it must have occurred at that same time, that after the deluge, that's when the Bronze Age really began. It's exact, almost to within 18 years anyway. It is vain to believe dating based on a human reasoning in any case where the lack of written records exerts silence. So we don't have written records about the Bronze Age, for example. The futility of using human wisdom to determine even small subtleties with regard to the deluge is exemplified by the remains of Noah's wife, found in their 18-foot sarcophagus. Her sarcophagus, which is her coffin, is 18 feet long. It is a great honor to be given a glimpse into this past. The genealogy dating has been tested and proven already, so in this article may confirmation no longer be required. It's such a great privilege to have written this article, The Ark of Urartu, which, during the writing of which I was accompanied by my wife, my late wife at the time, Anne was her name. This is now, for today, this is our proverb from Ecclesiastes 11 and 7, little ones. The light is also sweet, and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. Now Deuteronomy 31. Then Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel and said to them, excuse me, I choked on the water. 100, Moses said to the Israelites on the east side of the Jordan River, opposite Jericho and north of the Dead Sea, he said, 120 years old I am today. I shall no more be allowed to go out and come in. The water that I choked on. As Jehovah has said to me, you will not cross this Jordan. Jehovah your God is the one crossing before you. He himself will annihilate these nations from before you, and you must drive them away. Joshua is the one crossing before you, just as Jehovah has spoken. And Jehovah will certainly do to them just as he has done to Sihon and to Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land. When he annihilated them, and Jehovah has abandoned them to you, and you must do to them according to all the commandment that I have commanded you. Be courageous and strong. Do not be afraid or suffer a shock before them, because Jehovah your God is the one marching with you. He will neither desert you nor leave you entirely. And Moses proceeded to call Joshua and to say to him before the eyes of all Israel, be courageous and strong, because you will bring this people into the land that Jehovah swore to their forefathers to give to them, and you yourself will give it to them as an inheritance. And Jehovah is the one marching before you. He himself will continue with you. He will neither desert you nor leave you entirely. Do not be afraid or be terrified. Then Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, the carriers of the Ark of Jehovah's covenant, and to all the older men of Israel. And Moses went on to command them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the appointed time of the year of the release, in the festival of booths, when all Israel comes to see the face of Jehovah your God in the place that he will choose, you will read this law in front of all Israel in their hearing. Congregate the people, the men and the women and the little ones, and your alien resident who is within your gates, in order that they may listen and in order that they may learn, as they must fear Jehovah your God and take care to carry out all the words of this law. And their sons, who have not known, should listen, and they must learn to fear Jehovah your God all the days that you are living upon the soil to which you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of it. After that, Jehovah said to Moses, look, the days have drawn near for you to die. Call Joshua and station yourselves in the tent of meeting, that I may commission him. So Moses and Joshua went and stationed themselves in the tent of meeting. Then Jehovah appeared at the tent in the pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud began to stand by the entrance of the tent. Jehovah now said to Moses, look, you are lying down with your forefathers, and this people will certainly get up and have immoral intercourse with foreign gods of the land to which they are going, in their very midst, and they will certainly forsake me and break my covenant that I have concluded with them. At that my anger will indeed blaze against them in that day, and I shall certainly forsake them and conceal my face from them, and they must become something to be consumed, and many calamities and distresses must come upon them, and they will be bound to say in that day, is it not because our God is not in our midst that these calamities have come upon us? As for me, I shall absolutely conceal my face in that day because of all the badness that they have done, because they have turned to other gods. And now write for yourselves this song and teach it to the sons of Israel. Place it in their mouths in order that this song may serve as my witness against the sons of Israel, for I shall bring them to the ground that I have sworn about to their forefathers, which flows with milk and honey, and they will certainly eat and be satisfied and grow fat and turn to other gods, and they will indeed serve them and treat me with disrespect and break my covenant. And it must occur that when many calamities and distresses will come upon them, this song must also answer before them as a witness, because it should not be forgotten out of the mouth of their offspring. For I well know their inclination that they are developing today before I bring them into the land about which I have sworn. So Moses wrote this song in that day that he might teach it to the sons of Israel. And he proceeded to commission Joshua the son of Nun, and to say, "Be courageous and strong, because you will bring the sons of Israel into the land about which I have sworn to them, and I myself shall continue with you." And it came about that as soon as Moses had finished writing the words of this law in a book until their completion, Moses began to command the Levites, the carriers of the Ark of Jehovah's Covenant, saying, "Taking this book of the law, you must place it at the side of the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah your God, and it must serve as a witness there against you. For I well know your rebelliousness and your stiff neck. If while I am yet alive with you today, you have proved rebellious in behavior toward Jehovah, then how much more so after my death?" Congregate to me all the older men of your tribes and your officers, and let me speak in their hearing these words, and let me take the heavens and the earth as witnesses against them, for I well know that after my death you will without fail act ruinously, and you will turn aside from the way about which I have commanded you, and calamity will be bound to befall you at the close of the days, because you will do what is bad in the eyes of Jehovah so as to offend him by the works of your hands." End quote. And Moses proceeded to speak in the hearing of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until their completion. So the song is coming next in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy. That concludes Deuteronomy chapter 31. So now, little children, let's go to Revelation 16. John, continuing in his revelation that was given to him by Jesus in heaven, John says, "And I heard a loud voice out of the sanctuary say to the seven angels, 'Go and pour out the seven bowls of the anger of God into the earth.' And the first one went off and poured out his bowl into the earth. And a hurtful and malignant ulcer came to be upon the men that had the mark of the wild beast and that were worshipping its image. And the second one poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living soul died, yes, the things in the sea. And the third one poured out his bowl into the rivers and the fountains of the waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel over the waters say, 'You, the one who is and who was, the loyal one, are righteous, because you have rendered these decisions, because they poured out the blood of holy ones and of prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. They deserve it.' And I heard the altar say, 'Yes, Jehovah God the Almighty, true and righteous are your judicial decisions.' And the fourth one poured out his bowl upon the sun. And to the sun it was granted to scorch the men with fire, and the men were scorched with great heat, but they blasphemed the name of God, who has the authority over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give glory to him. And the fifth one poured out his bowl upon the throne of the wild beast, and its kingdom became darkened, and they began to gnaw their tongues for their pain, but they blasphemed the God of heaven for their pains and for their ulcers, and they did not repent of their works. And the sixth one poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and his water was dried up, that the way might be prepared for the kings from the rising of the sun. And I saw three unclean, inspired expressions that looked like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the wild beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are, in fact, expressions inspired by demons, and perform signs, and they go forth to the kings of the entire inhabited earth to gather them together to the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Look, I am coming as a thief. Happy is the one that stays awake and keeps his outer garments, that he may not walk naked and people look upon his shamefulness." So that's Jesus saying he's coming as a thief, because we know he said that during his ministry when he was on earth. "And they gathered them together to the place that is called in Hebrew Harmageddon. And the seventh one poured out his bowl upon the air. At this a loud voice issued out of the sanctuary from the throne, saying, it has come to pass, and lightnings and voices and thunders occurred, and a great earthquake occurred such as had not occurred since men came to be on the earth. So extensive an earthquake, so great, and the great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And Babylon the Great was remembered in the sight of God to give her the cup of the wine of the anger of his wrath. Also every island fled, and mountains were not found. And a great hail, with every stone about the weight of a talent, descended out of heaven upon the men. And the men blasphemed God due to the plague of hail, because the plague of it was unusually great. That's the end of Revelation chapter 16. Little children, thank you for listening. Oh my goodness. If you can't read these with me, perhaps you can get a hold of a Bible and read them on your own whenever you have the time and the opportunity to do so. So we've done our study in the Bible. We've got 11 minutes and some number of seconds left. So we've taken some time on this. But we could note a few things here. Lightnings and voices and thunders occurred. Right. There was something I wanted to mention, but I don't see it right now. Oh yeah, the river Euphrates was mentioned, right? It's called the Great River Euphrates. And in the Old Testament, or the Hebrew scriptures that occurred before the book of Matthew, in those scriptures we see that the Euphrates is always called the Great River, but the word Euphrates doesn't usually appear, or often it doesn't, just the words Great River. So here we have the Great River Euphrates. So we see in Revelation 16 that we were correct in assuming that the Euphrates was the river referred to as the Great River in the Old Testament, or the Old Covenant, whatever we want to call it, right? The sometimes called the Hebrew Scriptures, but the oldest version of those scriptures is found in the Greek Septuagint. At least up until now, perhaps. Well, there are always new discoveries being made. There's some amazing videos about the discovery of items recently that were made in. Let's see if I can bring any of them over. Well, they've discovered things in Shiloh recently. Oh my, there's so many of them. I haven't prepared this, so I can't really do it, but there was a discovery of a 2,500-year-old scroll, older than the Dead Sea Scrolls, which had a tiny portion of scripture on it, but it was complete enough to identify it as from the Bible. And then there was another, and that was a discovery, actually, that occurred in 1979, according to the caption. So you could search for these things on YouTube. The oldest copy of scripture ever found, and archaeologists excited by recent finds in ancient Shiloh. and another one, a YouTube video. These are beautiful videos. Another one is called The Oldest Yahweh Inscription, the earliest mention of an inscription containing God's name. And it's called Searching for the Earliest Mention of the Israelites' God, Yahweh. You find that on YouTube as well. And there's another one, and it's called Archaeological Find Upends Secular Academia. That's another YouTube video that you can search for. They're all beautiful, quite wonderful discoveries. And one thing I wanted to talk about, if we have time, is in the movie called The Final Say, which was a romance movie, with some, you know, some difficulties in the marriage that occurred. And in that movie, it was notable that they referred to God as Jesus, which is interesting because, of course, we could think of Jesus as the mediator between man and God, which he is. And therefore, when we speak to God, we could say Jesus instead of Jehovah's name or the word God, because Jesus is the mediator. And that occurred to me just recently, just today. I never thought of it that way, actually. But also, there's another reason, of course, is that Jesus is to be appointed in the final days, during the 1,000 years of judgment. Jesus is appointed as Almighty God by Jehovah. He is appointed, so Jehovah appoints Jesus to have the position of Almighty God. And he rules for 1,000 years. So, you know, when those 1,000 years actually are begun, then it is appropriate to refer to Jesus as Almighty God. Those are the things that are not often talked about in the different Christian religions or sects of Christian religion that we know about, right? They're just not mentioned very often. But they're quite consistent with the Bible. So, I mean, some people refer to God as Jesus and everything they say, but Jesus also said, if you ask anything of me, I will do it. He said that when he was on earth, you know, during the time when he was still conducting his ministry on earth. So he saw in the future that people might ask things of him directly rather than of Jehovah. Even though it's perfectly correct to ask things of our Father in heaven, and that Father could be Jehovah, in which case we ask them in the name of Jesus, but since Jesus is to be appointed by Jehovah as the Almighty God, and Jesus is also our Father, because it's through Jesus that all things were created. He was the spirit creature, the Word, the Logos, through whom all things were created. So it's appropriate to call Jesus Father also. So he is also Father in heaven. So, you know, this is a good reason and a valid way of explaining why some Christian believers appeal to Jesus for help directly, and they call upon the name of Jesus as though he himself were Almighty God. It's just a different way of doing it, but it appears to be perfectly in line and in harmony with the scriptures. It certainly isn't telling the whole story, though, about who the Father really is, and about the idea and the truth that Jehovah created Jesus as the first of his creations. And he was the only begotten Son of God, because it was only Jesus who was created directly by Jehovah. And then after that, every other thing in the universe, in the heavens, was created through Jesus by God. So Jesus was the creator of all things, except that he was himself created by Jehovah alone. That is what the Bible teaches us. We're down to 2 minutes. So there are things to say. These discoveries in Israel, and there are people discovering things every day in Israel that bring the Bible more to life and validate so much of what we already believe or see from the scriptures to be true. And it's just those things. I think if we spent more time looking for them, I just found all these videos that I mentioned here on YouTube. I found in the same day or two, I'm not sure, or a very short period of time, whatever it was. It was very, it may have been all in the same day, actually. And, you know, I could probably find a lot more. And, you know, perhaps there will be a time, since Ecclesiastes 3:1 says there is a time for all things. For everything there is a time, right? A time for everything under the sun. So I think we're done. Are we? Well, we have 1 minute. Just about 1 minute here. Okay. Well, it's been a pleasure. And how are you doing? How is everyone? I love you all. How are your children, your families? I hope everything's going as well as it could. Although we all undoubtedly are suffering something. And it's September 9th, 2023. Time is 18:02 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. And before I go, I'd like to say that, you know, I'm still trying to figure out how to eliminate calcium, because my well water has calcium in it, so I'm trying to figure out a way to reduce that further. It's now time to conclude our video. In my behalf, this is my wonderful and sweet, precious watch crow, and this is my digital electronic watch, Cassie, saying in my behalf, bye for now.